Okay, good morning everyone. Okay, so hey, I've chosen to share a few thoughts on grace. And the reason I'm picking this topic is I was at the Lab Working Camp a couple weeks ago, and that was the topic there. So take a few pointers from that and that makes it all the more easy. Okay, so as well as that, I pull various bits and pieces from all over the place, so it's going to be a little haphazard, but that's all right, we'll run with that. Okay, so early on in the first talk at the Lab Working Camp, the speaker said that grace is not a topic that's covered much in our community. So maybe for many of the younger lot at the camp, it was a bit of a new subject. And while that may be true of many ecclesias, we may be a bit out of character in the Bay of Plenty. I think we've covered that topic quite a few times. Anyway, so one of the suggestions that was given as to why grace was not talked about so often was because it's not something that we can earn. It's out of our control. So often we don't talk about it. Instead, we talk about faith and doing works instead. Anyway, that aside, let's get started. So, what is grace? Let's start with a modern reference from the Oxford Dictionary, and that says, the Christian meaning from the Oxford Dictionary. Grace is a free and unmeted favour of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. Okay, so that's quite specific. Another definition of grace I heard fairly recently in a talk was grace is God's goodness all squashed into one word, and that is a goodness we don't deserve. That's fairly good. And leading on from that, one I've also heard very recently, grace is always without exception given for the benefit of other people, as well as the immediate benefit of the giver, from a human point of view. So, personally, I like to stick with a similar definition, something a little like, grace is a giving of something to a person who does not deserve it. So, we definitely don't deserve the grace we're given. Okay, so, we can sum it up, we can maybe sum it up a bit better than that, but that'll work for now. Okay, so grace is a giving of something. What does that mean in terms of grace in the Bible? What is the something that is given? So I want to sidetrack a little bit and share a snippet from the talks at the youth camp. So it may or may not be helpful, but it does show three different types of grace and what our response to each part should be. So here's a rough summary. The three types. So first up, we've got the manifold grace of God. So this is the grace that God provides for everyone. For example, oxygen, water, sunlight, and so on. And in fact, just like it says in Matthew 5, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain to the just and the unjust. So that's the first grace that everyone gets. Next up, we have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We call this the extra grace or more grace that is given out to those that first act on the manifold grace. However, this grace does not come with a response. It does come with a responsibility to share with others. This is the grace that we as believers receive. And then there's the exceeding riches of grace, or as the speaker put it, future grace. Grace that we receive in the kingdom of God. Okay, so for each of those three types of grace, manifold grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and future grace, there should be a response or a change to it. So, for example, for the manifold grace of God, the grace shown to everyone, it should cause an attitude of appreciation from us for him and for his creation and wanting to know more. This is the first and this is the first step and one that we've all taken. I'm sure we all appreciate it. Okay. So when we've acted on that grace, we start moving with the next type of grace from Jesus. And our reaction to this type of grace is it's a moral change, isn't it? It's something we constantly work at throughout our lives, and it should generate works from that grace. And lastly, of course, the exceeding grace is something we receive in the kingdom, and it will cause a physical change in us. Anyway, so breaking down the grace is neither sort of here nor there, it's just a thought from the talk. But it does let us define different instances of grace in the Bible. So in short, God gives us many blessings, including everyday things, as well as further grace all blessings as believers, and we can look forward to more grace in the kingdom, of course. So we all know why we need grace, but let's put it into words anyway. So we have sinned, and without God's grace and mercy, we're doomed to live and die. And that may not seem like a bad thing for a lot of people in Western countries, but as we know, there are many in the world who are not living the same luxury that we have. And God's grace and hope for the kingdom is the hope that they need. And even for us, it's something that we can cling to. We need that grace to be a part of the plan for the world. So from a normal human point of view, you could liken grace a little bit to karma. I'm sure you've all heard that before, but the idea that by doing good to others, that good will be done unto you. So it's not quite right, but for grace at least. But what's right is, just as God has given us his grace, we too should pass that same grace on to others. So just think about this. Are people benefiting from the grace that God has given to us? Just a thought. Okay. So let's move on. You may all be familiar with the parable of the talents. I believe we spoke about that in the seminar a while back, and quite a few of you were there. So linking grace to it. God has freely given grace to everyone. And what he's doing is he's watching and waiting as we decide what we want to do with that grace we've been given. And it's really up to each one of us as individuals to choose how we respond to that grace. Do we simply take it, enjoy it, and do nothing more? Well, for us to be here, obviously not. But do we really take the extra step and live according to the grace that we have been given? Anyway, let's take a look at where grace is first mentioned in the Bible. You won't need to turn anything up. I'm just going to read it out. It's very quick and small passages. So we know God did show grace early on, and grace and mercy to Adam and Eve in the garden. But the first time the word grace is mentioned, as far as I know in the Bible, is with Noah. When we read that Noah found grace or favour with God. Let's take a moment to consider what happened there. We can safely say that Noah had responded to the manifold grace of God long before he built the ark. So it's really important to keep in mind that we always have the grace that God has given us. We can't sit around and expect God to show us grace, because it doesn't work like that. It's already happened. We already have the manifold grace of God. Instead, we need to work on the grace that we've been given. And this is exactly what Noah did. So when God asked Noah to build the ark, he didn't wait for God to show him grace first before acting. Instead, he jumped straight into action. He jumped straight into action because he had already been acting on grace. I heard one speaker say that when Noah built the ark, he probably built it graciously, with room for more people. But as we know, no one else responded to the call besides Noah and his family. Just an interesting hypothesis to think about. So when we read of grace everywhere, we want to remember two things. So firstly, from what we have seen by Noah, we know that God has already given us his grace, so we need to work on it. And secondly, as we saw when looking at the meaning of grace, it is always, without exception, given for the benefit of other people. But not only that, it also gives immediate benefit of the giver. It helps us with our humility. Okay, so when it comes to grace, I think sometimes we can fall into the trap of thinking that we don't have to put in much effort because we're saved by grace, which is quite a nice idea. But in reality, it's quite the opposite. The more we know about grace, really, the more we should be encouraged to do something about it. Let's take a look at Paul, a classic grace man. In fact, we read a little bit on this in the readings today. We know that he did some pretty nasty things, so much so that he calls himself the chief among sinners. Yes, we know that even then he has a place in the kingdom because of his turnaround. So when Paul was blinded by the light on the road, he responded to the massive grace of God. He completely turned around and put that grace into action. Although it wasn't immediate, we don't really read much of it, but after the event with the light, Paul spent 3 years in Arabia, I think it was. And even though he received the grace of God, he still needed to give the brethren some space. He'd been persecuting them pretty heavily. And it'd be a bad idea to try and join them immediately. So rather, I think he would have spent some time in Arabia studying the Word of God in a different light. Now that he had been shown the correct way and would no doubt have read up on the mercy and the grace of God in the Old Testament books. So after his time in Arabia, Paul, he went into top gear and started preaching on the grace that he had received to anyone and everyone that would listen. So he put that grace into action, just like we want to do, and he did that by preaching, writing letters, serving the community of believers in various ways, and most of all through his example. But he didn't stop, and that's the major key to living a life of grace. Don't stop. Keep praying every day for the continued grace of God and for help to pass it on to others. So through all of this, I imagine Paul would have been earnestly praying for continued grace, knowing full well that it was only through grace that he could be saved. Okay, so we're told in Ephesians 4, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, tumult, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Also be gracious to one another, full of pity, forgiving one another, even as God also in Christ forgave you. So just as we read there, we need to be gracious and allow for others in all that we do. Sure, we're not perfect, but we need to keep asking God to continue daily to guide us, to work in our lives so that we can pass on that grace we've received. Okay, so that's all good and fine, but who do we pass our grace on to? Can we simply be gracious to friends and family, those in the ecclesia? Sure, but that really wouldn't count. It's doing those things for friends and family. It's not grace, is it? Well, what have I got here? Yeah, it's not grace. So the grace is giving of something undeserved, as we spoke about before. So we need to make an effort to show grace. It's not a natural thing at all. We need to be showing grace to strangers, or better yet, we should be showing grace to someone that we think has done something against us, or someone we don't think is deserving. So we talked a bit about the amazing gift of grace, that we do have a responsibility to work with that grace and to pass it on to others in various forms. We won't go too much into that, but I want to make absolutely sure that we reinforce the fact that we need to be extremely careful not to put a limit on the amount of grace that we think we need. I suppose I'm a bit guilty of this. Now, and sure, we are judged by our works, but even then, our works will never be enough. We need all the grace we can get. And Paul knew that no matter what he did, he was still completely dependent on that grace. Even with all the impressive works he had done, without grace, Paul, or even we, don't have a hope. Likewise, even if we follow every rule in the Bible, like the rich young man in Luke 18, we're still lost without grace. And to think otherwise is dangerous, very dangerous, because it means we're putting a limit on the grace. And the minute we think that our works will earn us something is a sure way to be denied access to God's plan. Anyway, so we all know this. We know that our works do not atone for our sins. It is only through God's amazing grace and the gift of his Son that we too can be part of the kingdom. Anyway, that's a bit of a negative way to put it, I suppose. So before we move on to the emblems, consider it like this. We need to come boldly to the throne of grace, not in conceit, but not trembling either. Sure, we fall far short, and we need all the grace we can get. But if we are putting that grace into action, we can have sure faith and know that we will be welcomed in grace at the return of our Lord, because the grace given us is indeed massive. So, another short exhortation, but may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.